CFYLP is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Visit CapturedPrey.com today for all your import and third-party Transformers needs, and save even more through the Captured Prey Loyalty Program. You can also save on shipping on domestic orders of $150 or more. See website for details. CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com for all your vintage toy needs. You can also find Mega Toy Fan at popular robot and toy conventions year-round. Minimize your costs and maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com.
In a cold, faraway world, a battle is raging between evil and good. From the stars,
Perceptia here. Welcome to Transformers for your listening pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. Now, where did I put that chorus stop? Ratchet, will you take the chorus stop?
Transformers! Defenders of truth! Robots who fight in disguise!
Hi, this is TFYLP, episode 247, and I'm your host, Megamus. With me tonight will be Michael Swift.
What's up?
Brycey.
Hey, what's happening?
The headmaster, Don.
Hey, buddy.
And the proto man.
Hey, how you doing, people?
So,
yeah, you may say he's the mega man of the podcast.
Well, I was going in a circle, whatever. It doesn't matter. I was going backwards. So, I was just trying to get everyone in so we could talk about what a wonderful topic we had tonight. The topic being about the BotCon / convention void. Now, that's a big topic. So what I wanted to do is beforehand, I wanted to knock out a lot of the stuff beforehand. So I will start with Don. Go ahead and hit our sponsors. Get those.
All right. As always, TFYLP is brought to you by Captured Prey Toys. Great prices, great service, great selection, CapturedPrey.com. Check them out for all the new pre-orders going up, as well as some great new third-party items coming out as well. If you're looking for vintage toys, be sure to check out our other sponsor, Megatoyfan.com. Megatoyfan is the place to go for your parts, accessories, your classic figures, and the oddball things you just won't find anywhere else. Maximize your collection, minimize your price with Mega Toy Fan. He can be found at all your favorite Transformer conventions, such as Pete's Robot Convention and everywhere else. Check him out on Facebook as well.
Sweet. All right. Daniel, do you have something to add to that?
We also have another sponsor. Ripped Apparel has a special promotion code with us. So if you check out and you have promotion code TFYLPPOD, you'll get a 10% discount, and I suggest the Transformers Lost Light issue number 1 t-shirt. Looks pretty freaking sweet. So, yeah, Ripped Apparel, it's RIPTApparel.com.
There you go.
10% off.
10% off. Can't say much more than that. Now,
yep.
We've had this going on for a little bit, but then all of a sudden, we had this other thing come up, and it's really, really interesting. It's a book, and I'm hoping that Bryce could shed a little light on that. Go ahead.
So, me, Brandon Yap, and Sebastian Harden have been working on this book for about a year, doing every vintage piece we can get our hands on. So it's got the complete U.S. collection in it. In the first volume, there's two volumes. Second one has European and Japanese. We're trying to get all the really hard to find stuff, like the Sedge Constructicons. We got our hands on a cast of the prototype shield for Galaxy Shuttle.
There you go.
got pictures of that and how it was supposed to function. We actually opened a sealed Stars playset, took photos of all the parts before assembly, and then took pictures of it assembled. You can see that in the video that's up on Ocular Echo on YouTube.
So how would my question is if someone was looking and wanted to know definitively what part went with what toy, is this the book for them?
Yep, all the parts are in there.
And if you wanted to know, hey, I'm done with, you know, Victory or whatever, I could look on this and it would tell me exactly what toys and what characters were for that series, correct?
Yep. They're all in there. All under Autobot or Decepticon, plus their what series or year they came out in.
And these came from whose collections? It was a variety all three of us. Or what?
All three of us. The Sedgy Constructicons, actually a guy in Europe just sent them over to get pictures taken because I don't know anybody else with these things. I've seen the ones Maz had, but that was about it.
Okay, so you're throwing around some big names. So there's some big name guys there. Some guys that have been around for a while that know their stuff and know what goes with what and what doesn't. And you even said that you had a Stars mail-away set that you guys actually opened so you know definitively what came with it, correct?
Yep. You can see the pages for the Stars one actually in the video. Nice. That we put out a couple weeks ago.
This is the USA version, correct?
Yep.
Well, yeah. Now see, there you go. Because I've heard many different answers about many different things about what came in some of this mail-away stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, there's
speculation.
Yeah, there is. And I'll throw back to, and this is non-Transformers, but like Masters of the Universe, where they talk about the Wonder Bread He-Man. And everyone's like, did he come with this? Did he come with that? Do you have definitively no? And so far, this many years later, no one has said definitively that it even came from Wonder Bread or that it came with these accessories. So for stuff like that, I hate to put you on the spot, but how much have you dug to find out definitively this mail-away came with this at this time?
We didn't go into paperwork or anything for that stuff. The Stars paperwork is actually in there. Just because Sebastian was really happy to get it laid out the way it is, so
right. But he got a sealed one.
Yeah.
So you're talking about a sealed specimen that he opened, you know, and you know, Don, you know this, and Michael, you know this from even from the earlier eras from or the later eras from like Beast Wars or whatever. You open something up, you have drastically reduced the price. The worth of the item, but you're doing this for
this one's documentation. Right?
Thank you. So that's wonderful. I love that. So he opened it up, and this is what he found, and that's what you documented. I love that. So I mean, where else can you think about where you have a book that talks about this stuff where they actually opened it up, said this is what we found, this is what definitively was inside.
Yeah.
And it's good too, because up to this point, there really hasn't been a proper book that really, like, I mean, there's been attempts.
I give them props for the attempts.
Lord knows, I'm looking at all of them.
Exactly. But they didn't have the resources that you may have gotten to or have just, you know, you fell upon that you do now. You know, I mean, there may not have been a sealed Stars, you know, mail away, and all of a sudden it showed up, and hey, I'm going to document myself opening this, and then there you go. So, you got to love it. So, I mean, it's worth, even if you have what you figure to be the definitive answer to what came with what, there's always something better. And this is an example of that. And, I mean, anyone else have any questions for him about it?
So are you afraid that you're going to make people go bankrupt by wanting to hunt down this rare stuff?
Some might.
I mean, look at some of the stuff you're talking about. You're talking about the prototype shield and all this, that, and the other. I mean, why did you add that? Just for people like me that have to have it all? That, you know, oh, God, now I have one more thing to strive for? Is that what it's for?
Well, there's pictures of him without it, and then there's like a side panel with the showing what it would have been like if they had released it, right? It's just
yeah, but you know what you did. Right
extra.
That's just,
I know.
That's poking the bear. Come on. There you go. That's what you're doing. Come on now. Let's be honest.
I was hooked on it like years ago when somebody showed me the damn shield. They're like, look, now, see, it's supposed to be there. I'm like, oh, this sucks.
Now look, here we go. There's a few of us on here that absolutely, if it's out there and it's documented and it's cool, gotta have it. I don't care if I saw it in a book or whatever. So if you see it in the book, you know it's out there. Hey, that's one more thing to strive for. Gotta love it. I'm not looking at it as a bad thing. I'm just kind of being devil's advocate there. But I had to poke you there just because you added it, you know. And some people would be like, oh, it's a book. Now I got to find it. That's just one more thing. Well, okay, go find it now.
Well, here's the interesting thing. How many people are going to buy this book, start going to all these yard sales and flea markets, and we'll start hearing all these stories of people finding these parts in places that you would never think of? It's like, I got this for a quarter, and it's something that was like, you know.
See, now, to me, that is invaluable. You talk about the people that go out to the, they go out to the conventions, they go out to the yard sales, and they see this thing, and they don't know what it is. But your book tells you what it is, and you find out that this little thing you found for 25 cents is, like, invaluable. So we've always said that knowing what you're looking for and knowledge is the key. Bryce, you just helped a lot of people get the knowledge that it is to find these things maybe cheaper. Gotta love that.
Hopefully they like the pretty pictures.
And the pretty pictures. Everyone loves pretty pictures.
And when all the reports come in and people finding this stuff for a quarter, you can watch Brett's head explode.
Only because I didn't find one, damn it.
Yeah, but I'll sell it to you for $300.
This red face slag, launcher here, found it for a quarter.
Shut up! I want to hear about it.
$50 mint box Canadian slag. What?
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah. The point being is, as we've always said here, is that knowledge is a very valuable thing. It's a great thing, and he is helping him and his compadres in this are helping to educate those who don't know, so that, I mean, honestly, it makes you more aware of what they're worth. If you see them, you're going to pick them up, and you know what they are. I mean, because a lot of us don't know what that is. I mean, it just because it didn't come out in the package, you didn't see it in the package, doesn't mean it was not out there.
And even right now, I find, and I don't want to like knock people, but I find a lot of the current online documentation of what comes with what is still kind of inaccurate. One very, very predominant website that I could name doesn't have like the right amount of missiles. Like you'll go to the website and it'll say, oh, this comes with 4 missiles. No, the sprue only had 3.
Right.
You know, but there's misinformation here and there. And again, I don't want to name names, but it's just like, so it'll be nice to have something that's really definitive.
But how you look at it is someone started it. And if you build upon it, make it better, you can't really knock the effort.
Oh, totally not.
And you just go on.
Skyquake has different missiles on 3 different sites. They're all different numbers.
Right. So
yeah.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. That.
So you go to it's the got 14 one that or is 11 the most, or 15. Most, or... current. Hopefully, your book, I'm sure, has the correct ones.
We're
in the second.
Being
right?
Pretty anal about making sure everything is accurate in the book.
That's okay. If not, you come to me because I know. But that's beside the point. So then you make sure that it's all right, and you just keep going and. The whole idea is to educate people. Even when we have like tonight, we're doing a round table discussion about BotCon, in case those that didn't know, that's our discussion tonight. Is BotCon without it, is it good? Is it better? Is it a void? What's it going to do to the fandoms? The whole idea is to educate, is to get you to step back, and maybe you are the, I'm totally against BotCon. I like this for this reason. Get you a chance to step back and go, you know what? I didn't think about that. It affects this, 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 whatever. Or that you are pro-BotCon and you didn't think, now that it's gone, these people are stepping up and it means this, this, and this. That's the whole idea. So, we got everything knocked out. What I want to do is get right down into the topic. What I wanted to do is I wanted to start with, and I've got, wow, I have very little cards for this, and I really should have a lot more. What I wanted to do is I wanted to give a very, very brief overview of BotCon, when it started, and where it ended. Now, please, correct me if I'm wrong, especially those that are here with me, but started in 1994. It had about 204 registered people for this show. It was started by the Hartmans. And the very first exclusive was the G2 Stunticon breakdown. Okay? So there's the beginnings. This is back in 1994. Now,
picture it. Fort Wayne.
Fort Wayne, right, right. Now,
approximate attendance was 175.
Right.
This is the definitive BotCon. Anyways, but continue.
Right.
Please
keep it going. So,
yeah.
In 2005, now I'm not going to talk about the Hartmans and Glenn and all this, and what was it? TF, the Transformers official.
OTFCC.
Right, right.
The Octavica.
Okay, because you have those two. Don't get me wrong. But in 2005, Fun Publications took over. And that was in Fresno, Texas. Mm-hmm. Of course, and I don't know who all was there, but yours truly was there during Hurricane Rita. And we will talk about that. But I'm giving you an overview. The last BotCon, and it was actually by Fun Publications, was in 2016, was in Louisville, Kentucky, which I also attended. So, as you can see, my card is kind of brief. That's the slight overview, all right?
That's the abridged history.
That's the extremely abridged version.
It is, but there's a reason for that. So, in 1994, they had 204 registered attendees. So, they did the G2 breakdown. Now, was anyone here, who went to, what was their first BotCon? And I think Don is probably going to raise his hand first, but go ahead.
I was there at the beginning. I was there at 94. I have been to every BotCon except 1997 Rochester due to a incredibly terrible bout of unemployment, which unfortunately ended 1 month after the show. If I had known I had the job when I could have still gone, I would have gone, but I didn't know I had the job.
Could have got that jersey, Don. Could have got that jersey.
Yeah. But basically, it was started in Fort Wayne. I was the first person in the dealer's room. I peeked around the corner, saw the box of breakdowns, and I whispered to my friend, "Is G2 breakdown?" John and Carl, they said, "Shh." I said, "Okay." So that was the beginning. That was the beginning. So yeah, it was great show. And at that time, I didn't know about the European world of Transformers, about the Japanese. I just knew what we had in the U.S., and that was it.
Okay.
I walked in.
Well, that was in 94.
94.
Okay. So you're talking, my God.
94, 2004, 2014, 23 years, give or take.
Okay, so more than 20 years ago, You're talking about the item that was a, by the way, thanks, Daniel, for the backside flash there.
Oh,
thank you very much.
Thank you.
It's awesome.
Thank
okay.
you.
Okay. So, you are talking about Japanese, European stuff. It might even been towards the last where you had Action Master, you know, even Headmaster stuff that you didn't know about it, because this was the first time you were open to so many people having the same ideas, the same love that you did. This
exactly.
was back in 1994. And it took a couple guys deciding, hey, we're going to have a convention. We're going to have a get together and bring all these people together. And we're not talking about a whole lot of people. We're talking about a couple hundred people.
How did that
changed it, correct?
Yep. Pretty much, if you remember TFCon Chicago a couple years ago, the dealer's room that was downstairs, the basement one, the basement was pretty much the entire dealer's room for the first BotCon.
Yep.
Pretty much. It may be even a little bit bigger than the first BotCon. So that's how big you were looking at.
Let's see. Michael, you definitely weren't there. Bryce, you weren't there, were you?
No.
Daniel, were you?
My first BotCon was the turn of the century.
Okay, so you were 2001. So you're going to be a few minutes.
2001 was my first.
Okay,
and
you're going to be a few minutes.
Show to start off with. That was right. A hell of a...
Because
mine yeah, that was the great one to go to.
I beat you by a year. So Don, minus 1 year, has beat us by a good 5. All right, so what I want to know from Don is from 94 to 2000, because that's when I jumped in.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you bounced 1 year, but what are you looking at? Did you notice an increase? Was there a different? Just tell us what you saw, what you remember.
Well, it was definitely, you know, the Fort Wayne years, 94, 95, not 96, as I try to forget that whenever possible. well, there's a reason we call it.
I know exactly why. I know what you're talking about.
That's okay. Go ahead.
But it was a definite increase. The dealer's room kept getting bigger. There kept being more stuff shown from Hasbro. A lot of it, unfortunately, we never got, like the GoBot racing rig and, you know, so many good little things that just did not come out with the end of G2.
That's good. What year was that?
I want to say, Ross, I think that was 95. I want to say 94, 95.
Where they did the
racing rig, the General Hound auto rollers, the General Optimus, and the Sergeant Hound auto rollers.
Okay, now you're talking about 95. All right, here's the things I want people to understand. You're talking about 95, and about a year.
Don is right. Here's a photo in black and white of the 95 toy display.
Okay, so you had all this G2 stuff that never made its way to light.
Mm-hmm.
And then about, correct me if I'm wrong, a good year and a half, 2 years ago, all of a sudden these started popping up on eBay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. you had the six different ones, including the Hound, which was never shown before. And they just started popping up.
Yeah.
All right. Now, what I want people to understand is just to think about this is that you're talking about way back in 95, and all of a sudden, more than 20 years later, remnants of those have popped up. So, and I'll get to this later. It has to do with the value of things, because a lot of people put a lot of value on stuff that first comes out, but then you think about it, and you're like, well, it's been 20 years, and all of a sudden, this stuff starts popping up. So, that you saw all this stuff 20 years ago. Including, if I remember correctly, the trailer with the little fire and all that. You saw that in person.
And we saw for the first time the Unicron prototype that later on that would have come out if it had been greenlit from the movie. Not perfect, but it's definitely a piece that you would want in your collection just for the first Unicron, you know, if it had been produced.
Which surprises me that third party still hasn't at least attempted something.
Well, there is one in the works, but I haven't heard anything recent in at least 2 or 3 months. So that's sort of on the, you know, back burner for now. But yeah, that's what I was seeing is more Hasbro was showing off more stuff, getting more dealers. The crowds were getting bigger. And then I guess the next big thing was Beast Wars. And that really that's when you started seeing the big resurgence of people coming in.
Okay,
of
so Beast Wars came in 95-96. So it was BotCon, I would assume 96.
96.
Chicago.
You saw the remnants of Beast Wars and the exclusives changed to come on, Don, help me out here.
I can answer that for him.
No, not 96 was Onyx Primal.
Which was a...
Come on, Don.
It was a recolor.
I wasn't even there.
Yeah, it was a recolor of the Optimus Prime Bat from the 2-pack.
Right.
And the quote was from Pulp Fiction.
It was a Beast Wars figure.
That was
my point. So yes, yeah. even the conventions knew
it was Onyx Primal,
right?
Yeah,
hey, and you're leaving out that the program had was a parody of Pulp Fiction, but with RC in the pose.
I'm trying to forget 96.
You're missing my point.
What that looks like? There's a photo of it right there,
and that was Men in Black, correct?
That was Men in Black.
There you go. So the point being. Is even the conventions, everyone associated with this knew that Beast Wars was the thing that you need to cling to. As much as us G1ers, Bryce, need to cling to G1, we need to know where the roots went to Beast Wars. It
was
our saving grace. It was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's what kept us going.
Yeah, as much as I would love to give credit to G2, it didn't do it. It did not do the jump start that we all wanted it to.
Right.
But it did give us engineering leaps that we're still using today. So there's that.
Well, exactly. Real quick, you had G2, and then you went to Machine Wars, which you had ball joints. Ball joints were.
You mean Beast Wars?
No, Beast Wars. Was it Beast Wars?
Machine Wars came in a little bit after Beast Wars. I would have to say,
which one had the ball joints first?
Beast Wars had the ball joints way before, and Machine Wars was just G2 toys that were repurposed. Some of them didn't even have ball joints at all.
Now those were Machine Wars.
Talking
two?
The flip changers.
Beast Wars
was the first one to like widespread use ball joints, but
yeah,
right. my point.
G2 was using them at that. Before that,
my point being,
Optimus Prime's trailer and original has one.
Right, but Astro Train. G2, they started doing. They had the sound effects where they took G1 toys, made sound effects like the Jets, Prime. Then they made different molds for Megatron with sound. So they tried, but in my opinion, it wasn't until they went to Beast Wars that they ever really clicked, and they got a new generation of people that wanted Transformers. All right, so we went through a brief history of BotCon, and the whole idea was, is what we were trying to get to the debate is, did BotCon leave a void, or did conventions in general leave a void? So what I want to do is I want to start with someone that has never been to a convention or has been to very, very little conventions, which would be Michael Swift, as far as BotCon or a Transformers type convention.
Is he cutting out for everybody else?
No, pretty smooth.
Okay, so Michael, you go ahead.
So you have to repeat the question.
Because I was cutting out, even though you didn't say I was?
No, you were fine. Okay.
You zoned out?
Zoned out for
that's
a second.
That's all right. My computer did the same
thing. That's smooth
thing.
As butter voice.
Yeah, you know, it's just, you know, whatever. Okay, so how many BotCons have you been to?
I have been to two.
Okay.
Two. I but I The first one I went to, I went as a – I wasn't a pass holder. I went on the open to everyone day. And then I went – yeah, general attendee. And then I went – you know, last year I went to the Buck Gun, the very last one.
Okay. All right. So what was your idea of it in rep, you know, in terms of a fan – and you saw it early on, and you saw it at the end, which is good. What do you think it's going to do to the fandom?
I mean, I think it's going to give rise again to more local meetups and local conventions. I think for a while there, aside from TFCon, a lot of the little conventions sort of went by the wayside, and it was mostly just BotCon and TFCon I was mostly hearing about. And maybe with BotCon out of the way, that means, you know, we're going to go back to the days of, you know, the past where there was a lot of little conventions all over the place. And then, of course, there's HasCon, but so far that sounds like a big joke.
Decent information to make an informed decision, it would help other than just general things that we would expect from any given convention by using a dartboard and selecting what you want to see.
I don't know if you can really it's going to be a convention like San Diego Comic-Con is a convention from the sound.
You know what? The problem with that, and I don't want to go on a tangent with HasCon, but the Dunkin' Donut Center isn't even that big either. To put, like, let's say we take out Star Wars and some of the big and the Marvel brand that Hasbro has, and just focuses on the main brands. How do you fit all of those in one room comfortably?
Right. We're going to get to that. And there's a reason why I wore the Punisher shirt. All right. Mm. I'm not the good guy. I'm not the bad guy. I'm in the middle. So there's a reason.
Yeah.
So, Daniel. Oh, sorry, Daniel. Michael, you were saying your first time. Now, my question is from the first time you went to the last time, how did it change?
It wasn't hot as balls because we were in Florida, but I wanted to say that...
You didn't say what year it was, so you went in 2011.
Yeah,
that was 10.
That was 10, and it was the easy one for me to go to because I had to only drive 20 minutes to get there.
Nice.
I can't say too much was really that different. I mean, you're talking only a span of 6 years. The dealer room at the time of like the 2010 convention, I felt like there was a lot more, I don't know, variety, maybe. Like, you saw a few more oddities here and there. But other than that, I think the dealer room wasn't too much smaller at the time. And the panels were panels.
What about the number of attendees?
We go there for the garage sale, right?
Right, but what about the attendees? Do you see
well,
more?
I think it's kind of skewed because that was a bit like that was the movie hype. And so general attendees that year filled the dealer room. Like it was just jam packed. You had all the moms with their kids going there to, you know, go to the Transformers convention. And so 2016 was less packed. There was a lot more space, a lot more walking room. People weren't flooding in on that Saturday to see Transformers because the hype had died down by that point.
Okay. So who, Bryce, what about you?
I had never been to a BotCon.
Okay. Probably should have started with you, but go ahead. I actually thought you went to a couple, but go ahead.
No, I just wanted to. Never made it.
Okay, but what were your ideas? You're talking about something that a lot of people supposedly were interested in, and you saw the hype, and you saw how the fandom was going, and I know that you are admin to one of the biggest G1 Facebook groups. I know that for a fact. So as being an admin on that, did you see a big amount of people towards the, 2005, 6, 7, whatever, when you all started, as opposed to lately? What do you think?
About the same. People really seem to always want to go, but then...
So you think the interest is there? The interest is just as much here now as it was in, 2005?
Yeah, I think so.
It's a good point.
Okay. Hasbro decided that they wanted My Little Ponies to cuddle with their Transformers, I guess.
we're not going to get into HasCon just yet. All right? We're going to save that for later. Don.
Yes.
Okay, I know we went to you before about the history, but as far as what you saw from the beginning to the end, what did you see as far as people, the mount, the product, and the interest?
Well, pretty much everything only grew to a point it just kept growing exponentially. I mean, it kept getting busier and busier. Looking at your walk-ins on the Saturdays and Sundays, like Michael was talking about, just from since the walk-ins were available, it just kept getting busier and busier. Lines around the block became double lines around the block in some cases. Up and down corridors, just massive. The product kept getting, I think, overall better as far as they were given a little more leeway on some things they could do. Stuff that I would have, finding out about a lot of the stuff in retrospect that I wish we had gotten, but we didn't. Stuff like what Glenn was putting forth, like the Defensor from the RID Prime mold, is something I still would love to have. But, we'll probably never see that in any meaningful fashion. But we kept getting we kept getting better exclusives as far as, retooling, like turning Scorponok back into an actual headmaster. Then they actually, went back and retooled the toy to accept a G1 headmaster. Getting Oil Master, an actual brand new, the first pretender in 20-plus years as an actual pretender. Mm-hmm. And stuff that we never would have gotten, like the Megatron, this last Megatron from the Deathsaurus mold. That was a beautiful figure, despite the fact the selling of that was a sort of marred the figure in as far as by adjacency. Overall, it just kept getting busier, bigger, and better, but there was a downside. Not to be negative, but FunPub did not really keep up with the times on, say, the registration process, the website. For example, they never got the forum boards back up and running, and eventually just we had to go to Cybertron as the meeting place. When, again, if anyone out there is more technically inclined than I am, but I know you can go to any site and get a run board, which is a shout box, and you could have had that on your site, and people could have talked in real time, and they would have had message boards, and then they would have had forms they could do, and it still would have been interaction for the Collectors Club members at this website instead of not having anything for years. Piecing together software to create, I'm not trying to bash anybody. I'm just saying things that we should not have been running into as late as we were. $6 online processing fees for buying a convention package, waiting for the registration to go up, not getting any advance notification, literally just being at your computer on a day off and waiting for it to go up because either you wanted the class for the assembly, which I never did because I stuck at models. But you know, that's why I never tried it, because it would turn out looking like crap anyway. But you know, no idea when it was going up for sale, going up for order. The products, like I asked them at BotCon last year, when are we going to see the Only Human figures up? When we get some more information? And it was months and months and months before we saw anything on that. Videos from the presentations that they took and were going to put up never materialized to some degree. You know, just we should not have been having to go through that kind of registration process in 2016, 2007, 2015, 2016.
Okay.
So.
Well. And you brought up a lot of points, and I want to talk to you first before I, heaven forbid, turn it over to Daniel. Okay? So I'm going to start it here.
All right? Well, Daniel does have more behind-the-scenes information than I'll ever have.
Yeah.
That's not the point. I want to start one way and then go
the
other.
I've had a horrible relationship with the guys who were in charge of their website.
But I want to start with one and then go to the other. That's my point.
Yeah. Okay. Continue.
All right. So, Don, you brought up a lot of good points. You talked about the Collectors Club, the forums, the website, all that stuff. And believe it or not, if you look, I wrote all that down, and my stuff was your stuff. But I did have some people, some questions to ask you specifically. Okay. You mentioned a lot of things.
I'll try, Sonny, if I can remember that much.
My question to you is, are people getting out? Are they getting out because of the effects of FunPub? Or are they getting out the effects of what's hip, what's hype, what's going on? Do I really want to do these Transformer things, or is it because of how FunPub, you know, hurt me, or how they helped me?
Well, that right there is the big catch 22.
It is. That's why I hit it with you first.
It really is, because I think a lot of people, when they're with the credit card information issue that happened at least twice, I believe. With the registration issues, with the website issues, that did cause a lot of people to just say, "I'm done," and they didn't want to. They didn't want to not go, or they didn't want to not be a Primus package holder. But it was much easier for them to go up with friends, go as a walk in on Saturday and Sunday, and then buy the toys from people who were either selling them at the show, getting them online after the show, even paying a little bit more just to avoid the hurdles that was being put in front of us just to register to go. But a lot of people stayed with it because there was no other way to get these kind of unique toys that would never sell at retail. And I'm going to bring up the 2007 Games of Deception sets. A lot of people still to this day don't like the fact that was the only way to complete the Seeker the Seeker molds was in a BotCon gift set.
For a time.
But I agree that trying to shop around those three same molds all over again to all these stores that have already had this mold, you would still wind up, if you spaced them out, would still have three figures over three waves, because you're not going to have all three in the same box. You have a case of Seekers and that's it. So that we got a good completion to the Seekers. It wasn't the optimal situation, but at least it was a solution for a while. And then we still got people that couldn't get the BotCon set. They got versions that were just as pretty just as nice. Pretty just as nice.
We get anyway. What you mean, brother.
Yeah. So a lot of people went out, but they didn't want to. But I think FunPub, again, just drop the ball on things that, I mean, if this was 2006, 2007, 2008, I could kind of understand it. But with the longevity that they had of doing this every year, there was the learning curve seemed to be every year, hit a brick wall, hit a brick wall, hit a brick wall, and it was just a frustrating experience. Okay. The year after my mom passed away, I had to the day the registration went up, I was auctioning off my parents' personal property. I was at an auction. We were auctioning off my parents' property. Dad had already passed away. Mom had passed away the year before. And then because there was no notification of when it was going up, we had no other than it was going up sometime soon. When will then be now? Soon. So while we're auctioning off my parents' estate, because I wasn't gonna live in the house, I had to use my phone and try to register through my phone just so I could make sure to be able to get everything done as soon as possible. And that was an absolute god-awful nightmare, trying to register from a mobile device.
Well, believe it or not, a lot of the questions I have are based towards you and will be bounced towards Daniel in a minute.
Okay.
One of the things I wanted to ask you, do you think the exclusives were a driving force?
Yes, I believe, because we got stuff that we would never get at retail, or if it was at retail, it would have been a lot blander, a lot safer-ish.
So is that good or bad for the collector?
It's good for the people that could go. It's bad for the people that couldn't. And I don't mean that facetiously. It's just some ways, again, it's the only way we would have gotten this particular snapshot in time to get that character and that deco on that mold. That was the only way to get it with the way everything was lining up. If we had got any version of that as a mass retail down the road, it'd have less paint. An action feature would have been removed. It would have been downscaled to a smaller size. Like instead of getting, you know, Cyclonus, Beast Machine Cyclonus from the Jetstorm mold, we might have gotten at retail a purple jet drone, which would have been cool, but not the same visually impressive toy.
Okay.
So, I mean,
which we kind of got through the Universe line, but that's another story.
Right. Okay, right. So in reference to the convention, BotCon. Too expensive for a reason, or just right?
I believe, I think for that you have to look year by year, and also that's going to be very subjective to me.
Sure.
Because it's the exclusives of that year which will help make you personally think.
Don't look at the ones that you want versus the ones you don't want. Look at someone that's looking at the packages and what's offered and the dollar amount of each. If someone wanted a lower amount versus a higher amount, or the a la carte, all of it. I mean, does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It's just, it's hard for me to look at it that way because through the years, I suggested several things through the feedback form of the stuff that they could do to cut the cost. I personally think they were a little too expensive, and they could have cut some costs here and there. I believe some of the hotels were not worth the room price.
Yeah. Right now we're talking about exclusives, though.
Okay. Well, exclusives, you got a lot of toys for what you paid for, but it wasn't something you could just casually drop and say, I'll pay it off next month. So, yeah, I think it was a little too expensive, but I can see why it would be as well. I'm trying to give a definite answer, but it's so subjective in my head of all the factors bouncing around.
It's okay.
Believe it or not, there's no right answer here. I'm just trying to get ideas and different opinions. This one's going to be even better to Don. All right. I'll start with the easier of the two, and I'll flip over for this. BotCon versus Unofficial. Which is better? It's gonna. I'm gonna narrow this, but you know where it's going. But go ahead.
Okay. You mean unofficial product, unofficial conventions?
Convention. You know, BotCon was an official convention.
Right.
So now we don't have one, except for we're going to talk about that. So what was the BotCon official convention versus the unofficial convention? Your pros and cons on that. Try and keep it brief, though.
Okay. Pros, you got figures you would never get otherwise. You had Hasbro's history with the characters they could draw on, with Lenny and everybody at Fun Pub working together to get stuff that we would never see again, or characters we might not even expect. The cons would be you were also constrained by Hasbro and Takara on what you had access to, what was viable, along those lines. Unofficial, you had a lot more freedom to produce whatever you wanted to within reason,
right?
With your partner company that was making the exclusives, you know, time constraints, material constraints, cost, all that was still a factor. But the sky was the limit. You could brainstorm. You didn't have to look at these are the molds. We have to make something from these molds versus we can make anything within reason. Mm-hmm. So there was that. Maybe the only thing the unofficial conventions kind of suffer for is the amount of guests that they can afford to get. I mean, a lot of them have really great guests, but it's only a couple. Whereas, you know, Hasbro had the whole RID team or the whole most of the cast of Prime at one point. So that's part of the problem there. The unofficials just don't have the money backing from Hasbro to pull in, say, the entire cast of Robots in Disguise 2.0. Which would have been a cool thing.
Right.
So that's kind of where I see that.
Well, the funny part was my next question was, is do you think that guests are that important? But you kind of went to that too, so that's good. I understand that. So I'm going to jump to the next one, which would be only because it's the next biggest non-official. Do you think TFCon is a viable option?
Oh, hell yeah.
And why?
Well, because the people that run it, swell guys that they are, they have a love of the product that really shows in the kind of show they put on. And I'm not just saying that because Daniel is on the show. I thought you were, but that's okay. Y'all guys, I'm using y'all as in general.
You know what? He actually said it to me to my face in Chicago that first year. I remember.
Yeah.
He said the same thing. I remember I was in the hallway of the basement dealer room, and I remember you said the same thing to me. You were very, very happy.
So I think to a, say, a 50 to 75% degree, It's as viable as BotCon as far as the big convention experience. The only thing you don't have is like the Hasbro molds, the Hasbro history coming into play as far as stuff you would like to see as other characters. Oh, we're doing it for this show, you know. So you're not getting the amount of exclusives per show, and they can't be certain characters because of all the reasons, but. It's definitely a super viable, fun alternative. Just not as much stuff can happen.
Okay. My next question is, this is going to be a tough one.
And the others haven't?
No, those were easy. Here comes the tough one.
Protect me, Massey.
Are fans in general, as fans in general, do they miss BotCon, or they're glad it's gone? I told you.
I know. Okay. I believe a lot of people are they do, and they miss BotCon. They miss seeing their friends. They miss traveling to these, not exactly what you call exotic locales, but
places
you would, you know, well, Well, you just got to get some
Canada. I'm from Canada. So going to Fort Wayne, Indiana, that might be a small hick down to you, but that's the States for me.
Yeah, and it's warm.
Third time is a charm to finish this thing up. We've had problems twice, and so now we're going to do it. So what we were doing it before is we were having a discussion about the BotCon slash convention void. And we got to hear from a couple of our cast members. We then got to hear from Don. And we had just finished. We were finishing up with Don. And then we were going to move to Daniel. Don, did you have any more closing thoughts on what I asked you last night, if you can remember what I asked you?
No, I think it. The only thing I'm going to just say is that there's so much subjective to that question based on each person's experiences, you know, the troubles they might have had getting there or transportation issues, or it's just the whole experience is based on everyone's different conglomeration of experiences involving like each year. So it's sort of, you sort of have to see how it aggregates out over the entire life cycle of BotCon, you know, whether you enjoyed it overall or you're glad it's gone, whatever the case may be. So it's there's no hard and fast answer. Like you said last night, there is no correct answer. It just depends on each person's experience with each year that they did go.
And just to interject just for a second, I mean, even in your case, Don, you had 1 year you couldn't go due to unemployment. And, you know, so like, and that's an individual story. You know what I mean? Where, I mean, every individual has their own financial situation. Every individual has their own location situation because of the way the show, how it moves around. You know, 1 year could be really great for a guy, and then another year could be difficult for them. And thus, it's a financial situation combined with a location, and thus bad experience for 2003, let's say, you know, or either right. way. Anyways. Right. But,
okay. All right, so we'll move on to Daniel. First of all, if I remember the format that we did last night, give me a brief overview of the conventions and like BotCon, which ones you went to, and we'll start off with that.
Okay, well, for BotCon, my very first one was 2001, which is, I find it very funny because it was the first one I ever did, and it had a Tigatron exclusive. And it had a live performance by Vince DiCola. And the last BotCon I ever did, which was the very last BotCon, had a Tigatron exclusive and a live. It very bookended each other. And I've done every BotCon from 2001 to 2016. Like, that was my bubble. And that very first year was the most ghetto year of my life. I was working at Burger King at the time, fresh out of college. And I drove down with a bunch of friends, and we literally slept in the car at the convention in the hotel parking lot. We had friends, obviously, from the fandom who had hotel rooms and stuff. So, but they also, because of the hotel room, they also had the key to the swimming pool. So we took our showers at the swimming pool because they have the showers and the locker rooms and everything. We were super ghetto. You have to understand, no money. No money. Like, my paycheck was every 2 weeks was $400 Canadian, which back then, especially with the dollar, was, it wasn't too bad, the dollar back then, but I mean, it still wasn't great, you know? And I was also like, you know, it was a long drive, but I mean, I was able to do my very first BotCon, but just really being the cheapest mofo a human being could be. You know?
So you took Donanomics to a whole new level.
Oh my God. Like, it was because we had a nice van. It was three guys. We shared the gas. When we drove down, like, you know, because we had to do 2 days of driving, we would hit like the, you know, these hole in the wall hotel rooms. But when it's like $20 for the day and you're three guys, you know, it's like $7. You know, people buy, you know, coffees that are more than that, you know. So we really did. And then when we arrived, we were lucky because the hotel didn't keep track of who was in the parking lot because it was one of those open kind of parking lot situations. And we would wake up in the morning. We had our friend that would hook us up. We'd shower in the morning, brush our teeth, everything in the hotel, in the hotel locker rooms of the stuff. Change, go back to the car, hook stuff up, you know, okay, we're going to bring this, we're going to bring that. It was super ghetto, but it, you know, there was something – something awesome about it, just looking back today, you know, where it's like, no, now it's like, ah, we roll into our nice hotel room and we just chill there.
No, wait a minute. On a side note, I got this idea kicking around in this melon, and I'm thinking of a possible topic of another episode would be going to a convention on a budget and having year two on and just giving these tips, which, by the way, we do not condone sleeping in a parking lot.
You know, it was a nice big van. Nice big van. It had two rows of seating in the back. So my buddy Goober and Meeson would do that, and then we fold back the front seat, and we just crashed in that. And we showered every day. I think it was either across the street or a block afterwards. There was this diner that had 99-cent breakfast that we only discovered on the last day. But like, it was like, oh man, like we saved so much money. And to me, again, with that very limited budget, first BotCon after dreaming of going since about like 96 when I first knew BotCon existed, because that was like when I really learned that BotCon existed, dreaming to go and then seeing that RC exclusive and the Tigatron and going, I'm not leaving without these. You know what I mean? Like, there's no way I'm leaving without these. So, I mean, I didn't get those keychain ones that they had also, but I mean, I got those later down the line, but it's just, I was so lucky just to get those, and anything after that was just a social experience. It was just to be there. And I was hooked. I was absolutely, it was like your first cigarette, you know, after you did that first BotCon, I'm like, there's no way I'm missing one ever again. And that was the case. was the case. Did not miss one since.
Okay. So I'm going to run through some of the same questions that I asked Don and the other guys. We'll start off with the BotCon versus an unofficial or no convention, pros and cons.
BotCon, for sure, it has the Hasbro power behind it. That's the first thing more than anything, is that with BotCon having Hasbro's support, even in BotCon's unofficial years, if you want to call it that, the pre-FunPub years, and that one year with Glenn Hallett, if you want to count OTFCC, and, you know, like 2004 with that unofficial BotCon, even in the unofficial years, Hasbro still was a presence there, you know, in an unofficial capacity. The exclusives were still Hasbro product, even if they were sold third party in a sense, using third party air quotes here, through BotCon. You know, they would bring new product. Hasbro would be there to show, you know, new product. They'd have their own panels. So Hasbro was always a presence at BotCon since its inception in some shape or form, even when it was an unofficial convention itself. And that has always been such a key factor that other conventions don't have. And I'm not even talking about TFCon. I'm talking like TF Expo. I'm talking, you know, DairyCon. I'm talking SlagaCon. Anyone's, CyberCon. There were so, CybeCon, I think it was. There's so many. But all of those, the one thing that they didn't have, except for some peppered years of TFCon here and there during the early days, we were lucky to have Hasbro Canada at one point. But in general, the lack of Hasbro has always been a huge advantage for BotCon, and what gave it its reputation, in my opinion, and as a result, the exclusives too, and the comic books, and the presence of the companies. IDW shows up, and, you know, which is also an official capacity. So, you know, all of that kind of stuff, especially.
Okay, which will lead right into my next one, which is, this is going to be a little tougher for you.
I'll be honest with the answers.
Is TFCon a viable option?
Currently, yes. Currently, if you asked me, I could only pick one, right? Like, and let's say, like, it was like, say, 2016, right? And I would still want to go to BotCon, because to me, that was always, I don't want to say it's the better show, but it's the show that is larger than life. To me, it was always. And because it just always had that crazy box set, all those exclusives, everyone coming out from all over the world. I love TFCon. You're not usually having the Japanese guys coming down or people from the UK. You get again, here and there, you get like one or two guys, you know, maybe, but you don't usually get whole droves of Japanese dudes coming down and whole droves of the UK people coming down, the British people coming down. Like, it really was the the World Summit of Transformers. And it was always larger than life. And I'll say that where I love TFCon, but the TFCons of the past haven't achieved that yet. Maybe in the future it will, but that'll go to your other questions later, probably. But right. At that moment, no. I still feel that TFCon is the bigger fish.
And do you feel that the exclusives were a driving force for the convention?
300%. I think that this wouldn't count me because I'm someone who goes there for other reasons too. But I feel that for a lot of people, if the exclusives were, let's say they didn't have any exclusives at all. They had everything else, the product reveals, the panels from Hasbro, all that other stuff. But if it didn't have the box set and the exclusives, like they had zero exclusives, maybe if the exclusives were only comic books, let's say, I think that most people would pass. I think that they would not go out of their way to make such an effort. I think that it was a very big driving force. It definitely is what made them unique more than anything. Was having those exclusives. And especially during the Fun Pub era, when you had those big, beautiful box sets and you were talking upwards of 15 to sometimes 17 exclusive characters mm-hmm. that were unique only to that show, it was it's a big, 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 big incentive to go where I feel, and I know this for a fact, a lot of people, there's almost not a single person that gets Primus package without the intent of probably keeping something. You know, because there's just so much, there's so much behind that.
Okay. All right. For fans in general, do fans in general miss BotCon, or are they glad to see it's gone? And I know, and I said the same thing to Don, and I'll preface it that by saying, no, of course we don't know everyone, but in your opinion, how do you feel about that?
Well, I'll split this fan into two separate categories, fans that have gone to BotCon previously and fans that have never gone to a BotCon at all. Because obviously, I mean, there's people who've gone to BotCon for years and could have their criticism of it, the negatives that do exist. But I'll tell you this right now, by it being absent, it's a very big gap. And I know that fans who have gone to it, even if they've gone only 1 year, will miss it. They will miss it heavily. I mean, in all honesty, like I don't like that it's gone at all because I don't feel that a lot of the things that were unique to BotCon could be replicated with anything else currently. And I could to elaborate what I mean by that more, exclusives that are based on crazy ideas. You know, like a creamsicle colored, you know, Classics Optimus Prime called Ginrai. I don't see an SDCC box set going that crazy. I mean, we had a Knights of Unicron, but I think that's about as crazy as we'll ever get in terms of a crazy box set. But just stuff like that, I don't see, because I find SDCC stuff is more catered towards a casual purchase audience, less than a hardcore collector audience. They won't do the very niche kind of stuff. They'll do like, if you look at SDCC exclusives, they're always something that's aimed at a guy who, hey, I remember Devastator. Hey, I remember the Dinobots. Hey, the Ark. Hey, this, hey, that. And it's the same thing with, even if they want to do convention exclusives at HasCon, which is a very general show. You know, it's not just the Transformer fans, it's everybody. If they do have exclusives, they'll be a very more liberal. They won't do something that's a 14-piece box set commemorating Beast Wars with unique, you know, head sculpts and all this engineering and blah, 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 you know, where that's something only BotCon could do. Only BotCon could do.
Okay. So what do you think the effects are of no BotCon to the fandom?
Well, number one, and I've said this many times in the past on other podcasts and this one and everything, is for the first time ever in, God, almost two decades. Yeah, it is more than two decades now. That now so many people don't know what to plan for summer of 2017. You know, and I'm not even talking about like from an American or even a Canadian standpoint. The Japanese guys. Who, you know, you're talking a $2,000 plane flight that they scheduled into their life every single year when June or April, you know, that bubble of whenever the con was, June, April, July sometimes. And now that's absent. completely. For the first time since 1994, it is absent. And that's a big gap. That's a big hole where people are going like, huh, do I put that time and energy into what was always the silver medal, which was TFCon? Do I put that time and energy into just going somewhere else? I know that some guys, I don't want to name names, but some guys within the Transformer fandom that for years have been going to BotCon, and now that BotCon doesn't exist anymore, they're planning that first Japan trip that they've never had. You know, going like, you know what? I think I'm going to go to Japan. Because, you know, and the reality is, BotCon's expensive. You know, when you factor in flying out there, the box set, the hotel rooms, that $2,000 plane flight to Japan seems pretty realistic in some cases. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, three grand.
Yeah, well, there you go.
And that's before you even buy anything extra.
Well, that's what I'm trying to say. So for someone to now consider Japan, which is the other side of the globe for a lot of people, it's not that crazy. So now they're going, you know what? Now that my BotCon doesn't exist anymore, how would I do that Japan trip that I've been passing up for the past decade or two decades? You know, so that's what's kind of happening with a lot of people is they're kind of like trying to figure out what they're going to do next, but there's still that unease because they got so used to, in my case, you know, 16 years of always planning this,
right?
You know, on top of TFCon, you know, and everything else.
So one of the effects that I believe is definitely a result is people are getting out. They're getting out of the fandom. They're getting out of collecting or various degrees thereof. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, it's what I go back to again with my cigarette comment.
So I like that comment. I was actually going to bring that back up too.
Well, but that's just it because it's the same way. Just like how a lot of people got into smoking more from a social kind of thing. It was more a, I don't want to say peer pressure, but I mean it's because, you know, everyone was smoking and everyone was enjoying it and you were able to enjoy it as a group and there's that tangibleness of it. You add that to the same kind of, you know, frame of thinking with Transformers. So you had this environment where once a year you all got together with all your buddies that you used to talk to on MIRC or Twitter or Facebook or whatever was your format of communication throughout the evolution of the fandom. And now that's gone from the BotCon standpoint. Mm-hmm. And now you lost your smoking buddy. You know what I mean? In a sense. So some guys might go, I don't want to smoke alone anymore now. You know, maybe I'll just quit because it's costly, it's effective, and maybe unhealthy, you know? And so it's the same thing. So that connection then happens where they're like, why am I still doing this? You know, and not to mention a lot of fans now more than ever, too much of a good thing we're going through where we're at a burnout point. Like we got everything now, you know, we got combiners and now we have headmasters in an official capacity. You know, Masterpiece is putting out new product. We got a new movie that's going to roll out. I mean, we've had so much that some fans go through a burnout and BotCon going under is almost like the excuse that they have finally to tap out. And you're talking a fandom of guys that, I mean, could, you know, have an age range between, you know, 15 and 50. And people are in different places in their life in their mid 30s to late, you know, to 50s. You know, they're in a different financial place, especially from a family standpoint, mortgage standpoint. You know, different things happen. I could go on forever on that topic. But.
Right. Hey, Don.
Yes.
I was sitting here thinking, I didn't ask you that question. What do you feel the effects of no BotCon to the fandom?
Well, actually, I agree with Daniel on a lot of that. People are looking at, okay, it's like me, for example. I didn't do a lot of traveling with who I work for. Before we changed policies and stuff, I got about 4 weeks a year with the length of time I've been with this company. But it's changed, so it's more of a fluctuating schedule now. So I still have the time. I can just take it a lot more freely other than, say, November and December. So I can travel more if I want to. The thing of it is, though, BotCon was always my big, that was the thing I planned my year around because, you know, I didn't go to Toy Fair. I didn't go to San Diego because I don't feel like being driven crazy. you know, and it's, and there's really, where I live here in the South, there's some good local regional shows, but for me to get there, it's like a 5 or 8 hour drive. So those really just weren't worth the drive for what they were for, in some cases. So that was my big, okay, I know I'm going to go to BotCon. I'm putting in my vacation time. Here's the money I'm saving. Get the roommates lined up. Get the So I had the process down. Without that, it's like, okay, I know I'm going to TFCon anyway. And now, if I wanted to go to HasbroCon, once we get some more information.
That question's coming, by the way.
Yeah. So I would like to go to HasbroCon, but if they don't tell us anything other than it's a thing that exists and there'll be toys, that's great. If I wanted Captain Generous to give us, you know, the basic information in there.
Right.
So, yeah, you know, it's good for a lot of people because it frees up more travel time, more family time. It's bad because if all you can really afford is, say, one trip a year, and you've lost BotCon, and TFCon, based on wherever it may be versus where you live, is not doable, then you really don't have anything else other than your local or regional shows. So you've lost some flexibility in what you could do, which is kind of sad because you know it's either TFCon right now or nothing until HasCon becomes a thing. Or whatever Hasbro does, because they've said they're doing a collector's club for the hardcore fans, which we've heard nothing about again. So,
well, okay. So now what I want to do is I'm going to bring up the topic of HasCon, and what I want to do is I just want to give each of you 5 minutes. This is actually going to be timed response.
Okay.
Just Daniel, 5 minutes each.
Yeah. Well, Daniel, if you want to go first, you can. Okay. I can't let you hear what you think.
Okay. And the things I want to talk about are your feelings, your hopes. Is this going to be a replacement? Stuff like that. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, for one, it's at the Dunkin' Donut Center, which we went to a BotCon 2007. Not a big location. So my first fear is filling all that stuff into one space. And I'm not saying just Transformers, but you're talking Magic the Gathering. You're talking My Little Pony. Let's ignore Marvel. Let's ignore Star Wars. Let's talk Beyblade. You know, all their in-house brands. G.I. Joe, you know, I can't forget that one. You know, they have a little bit of, they dabble a little bit with WWF and WWE. So, I mean, there's so much stuff going on. That how do you fit all of that under one room, let alone to then fit all those fandoms in one room and give a satisfying experience that you would want to travel to for? Imagine you're a guy, because this is all East Coast right now, because they're playing it safe. They're doing it near home, just like they did in 2007, doing it near home. They're, you know, you're talking, okay, I'm a guy in the West Coast, used to doing San Diego Comic-Con or whatever. Am I going to fly all the way across the country to this show? I love Transformers. But when I arrive there, the Transformer situation there is maybe 3 glass cabinets, what's coming out next year, a singular panel dedicated to it, and the handful of fans scattered around, mixed in with the bronies, the Joe collectors, the Magic the Gathering guys, the guys who are hoping for the next G.I. Joe line. You know, like it's going to be a very weird situation. I mean, there was a TFCon where we were mixed with the people from Supernaturals. And that was, you know, and that was bizarre. And that was bizarre.
But it was a cool kind of bizarre.
It was a cool kind of bizarre, but it showed that here's this strong percentage of one fandom, a strong percent. And even then it was bizarre. This is going to be so weird. I'm going to it anyways because it's 4 hours away from my house, so it's stupid not to. I mean, TFCon is 6 hours away, and I do that one, so this would be silly not to. But if this thing, let's say it wasn't 4 hours away and it was Florida or it was the West Coast, somewhere that's like a flight, I probably would have skipped it. I probably would have skipped it and say, oh, let's see how this goes down. I'll hear a secondhand account and hope that it's accurate, maybe see some footage, some photos. But I mean, I'm really skeptical just because I know that location. We've been there before. And unless some major construction has happened or something, I just can't physically see it in my head being a comfortable, I think, I don't want to use comfortable, it'd be an awkward kind of convention. It's going to be very bizarre from what I see. Maybe I'm just being cynical, but it's just, I can't see it. I can't.
Okay, so overall, you think it's
I'm going.
Good replacement I'm going. Or possible? Or just right now you can't.
I don't want to say good replacement at all because it's too many cooks. You know, it's too much going on there. If it was a good replacement, would be an only Transformer convention.
Right.
That's a good replacement. A convention that has Gem and the Holograms, My Little, and not to say I don't like those things, but I'm just saying. You know, I'm going for a Transformer convention to meet my Transformer fans, to meet the, you know, it's the Japanese guys aren't going to fly down for something like that.
You know, it's funny when you said that, the first thing that came to my mind is that I love cereal and I love tomato juice. I don't think I like them together.
No, of course not. You love beer, you love cereal, you wouldn't put them together either. You know what
I mean? No, that's not bad.
Oh, well. Anyway, the point being is that it's to me, it's the same thing. Like when I go to a video game convention, if I walked into a video game convention's deal room and the entire deal room was filled with Transformers, part of me would be like, what the hell? You know, I came here to buy video games and to check out video game stuff. So you want to have that OCD, that obsessive compulsive experience where you could get only that in that one environment. I mean, that's what you're paying for. That's the admission, you know, and you're not getting it. I mean, I think that's the one problem is that us as Transformer fans, we were so lucky to have a stellar convention, multiple, not just BotCon, but TFCon too. We're so lucky to have these singular stellar conventions of large quantity that now for the first time, we have something that's so tiny and it's going to be weird for us. Where I think all these other fandoms are very happy that, you know, like the this is going to be the first ever official kind of pony thing for the pony people. This is going to be the first time official kind of magic thing really for the magic people and Nerf and all the other brands. I mean, Hasbro, a large chunk of the money that they make comes from Monopoly, board games. I mean, God forbid that's something that's going to be a factor there. The whole Milton Bradley section of it, which is part of Hasbro and their board game division. It's all going to be under one roof. Think mm-hmm. about that. It's all going to be under one roof. How is that going to work? You know, how is that going to work?
Don?
Well, I wasn't expecting a direct replacement for BotCon. It seems as though that with them not immediately coming out, or at least within a reasonable amount of time, and said, okay, this is the new thing, because they wouldn't want to lose the momentum that BotCon had started. You know, the yearly of thing that, you know, they wouldn't want to say, like, take a year off and then all of a sudden, we're a thing again. They would have kept the momentum going or did something to make sure you didn't lose people's interests. Nothing came for months and months and months. And we finally heard a little bit about this. And I was expecting, talking to some friends of mine locally, a few of them had been to the Star Wars experience before. And they were saying, this sounds like it's going to be a very similar thing, more like, you know, a lot more casual, bringing in the families. There'll be exclusives, but it won't be like super limited compared to what, say, a BotCon or a TFCon exclusive might be. You know, they might have a production run of, say, 10,000 or something, you know, just to cover the convention people. So I was expecting...
And failing sales, it'll probably end up on the Hasbro store afterwards.
Exactly. So I was not expecting a direct replacement for BotCon. Do I think we need a direct replacement from officially? If they do this Collector's Club thing that they're talking about, that they've mentioned in past, and we can get a similar level of collectors focused toys, that may be good enough for some people. I don't know. The thing of it is, though, we know nothing about HasCon. We can't make any kind of travel plan unless you live close enough that you can go.
I know. Yeah. Well, and like I said, if it would have been Florida, I wouldn't even consider it. If it would have been
San Diego, that's what Don's going to say.
And yep. And if it's a complete crash of a convention, you've not lost airfare, time, yep. hotel. I mean, you've lost some time, but that's about it.
Yeah, just time.
So that's my problem with HasCon. Is yes, we're not expecting a direct replacement to it from Hasbro, but we don't know what it is at all at this point. Other than it's a bunch of their products, some of them I do like, under one roof with exclusives. That is as generic as you can get a statement and tell you absolutely nothing. So, and it's in Providence, so it's like, so. I don't know what kind of crowd they're expecting to draw in Providence. Mm-hmm. If this was, but I understand doing it close to home, getting the logistics of the first year under your belt, seeing how it all works out, then you can look at expanding to other cities to have a bigger draw. But I don't see them getting enough families into this convention center, size, regardless of size or not, getting people interested. If you've got four or five kids and they love all this stuff, they're going to have a blast. It'll be a good weekend for the family and all that kind of stuff. But how much of a draw can you get from that surrounding area to make it a success to do the next year? So there's that. And I know, and we've all talked about this, I know we are not Hasbro's target audience. We know that. We wish we were. We're not. But we do know they do listen to us. They do know that we are a valuable percentage of their market. Even if we're a small percentage, we buy a ton of crap. You know,
that,
at least
just to cut it, that percentage has grown a lot though in
right.
the past couple of years.
And we would not be getting Octane.
Exactly.
We would not be getting this level of collector focused product, Blitzwing. We would not be getting this stuff if they didn't know that this was stuff that the collectors, I mean, it's a great toy for kids, but it's also a very collector's focused line as well. You know, we got Shuffler, the elephant from Japan.
Yep.
You know,
I was very surprised to hear that. Very surprised.
And yeah, we got the toy terribleness aside, we got Stripes. So they, and because they have this movie money backing them, we're getting all this great stuff in the main line. I mean, look right here. Look at this guy right here. Top Spin. Freaking Jump Starter Top Spin. Got a brand new toy, and it's one of the best toys of the year. Could be one of the best toys of both Combiner Wars and Titans Return, with the possible exception of this guy, Trigger Happy. So, so what it boils down to is, as collectors, we know it's not a direct replacement, but we need more information to make an informed decision about where we want our money to go to make this thing a success. Otherwise, we're better off not traveling, since we don't know what's going to happen, not putting all of that money into a vacation that may be blah, and right. just buy the stuff at retail when we can find it.
So one of the things I wanted to ask, one of our younger guys the same question about HasCon being a viable option. So Michael Swift couldn't be with us tonight. However, I did get him on the little cellular phone. I asked him the same question. And what he said was, is he said he thinks it will fill the desire for exclusives, but not have the same community feel. And that's pretty much what everyone has been saying so far. You're going to get a little bit, but I think our biggest problem is, and I'll be the first one to say it, is we, for a long time, we were spoiled. As a collector base, we were spoiled.
That's what I just said.
And now that it's gone, we're down there with, you know, bronies and everyone else that they didn't have that. And in some instances, I think in all instances, it's harder. It's harder when you have it and you don't have it than if you never did.
Mm-hmm. But there is some consolation in that we are getting these great lines at retail. But again, finding this stuff, I just found Octane and Blitzwing. I'm calling Octane, I'm sorry. But
it's okay.
I just found them this week. I bought the only Shuffler I have seen since January. Right. So basically this is great stuff that we're getting, and they are listening to us. And finding it aside, I am very happy that this is still coming out. So if they keep doing this level of product, I'll miss BotCon, but at least this, we're getting this, and it's not just movie and then nothing or a less interesting focus line. But they need to let, they need to tell the BotCon people, this is what we're doing for your replacement to a certain degree. If it's their collector's club, a new exclusive, some working version of Maddie Collector and Digital River, you know, again, something that works, exclusives through Hasbro Toy Shop, more shared exclusives, but see Amazon and Big Bad, or other retailers, whatever the case may be. But they need to let us know something so we know what to expect, other than we're going a whole year almost at this point, and the rest of the year, and all we know is a very general thing about HasCon, and nothing else.
Mm-hmm. Well, imagine we're rolling into June soon.
Yep.
And when we would have been rolling into June around this exact time as we're talking, we would have already probably had our flights planned, our Primus packages probably already registered and ready to go. And we'd probably maybe be saying, hey, I'll see you guys in 2 weeks. You know what I mean?
Heck, we could have already had it at this point.
Yeah, or yes, in some cases, yeah, that we would have had.
Well, they had the early shows too. So
there's been May shows. There's been April shows in the past. Right, I think the 2010 one was in April.
Yeah, they always put it opposite JoeCon.
So it's just, I mean, it's the first time ever. We're kind of in a very weird situation. We really are. It's a very,
it all boils down to me. We don't have the information. They should have given us more information in general about HasCon, and specifically about what the collector's focus will be. Now, it could be they're waiting until after the movie is over to start, so that way they let more people focus on the movie product coming out, because they know the collectors are going to be looking at the movie product in addition to Titans Returns. And then after the movie hype is down, going into the fourth quarter, they're going to say, okay, this is our new program. See, but that's too late for HasCon, though.
But I don't think that that's it. And the main reason I say that is because at the very least, they would let us know if there's going to be vendors, if this is going to be like the BotCon and TFCon. You would, I mean, because that stuff, as a dealer, we need to know. We needed to know this months ago.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, after the movie stuff for the more collectors focused stuff. Sure.
But I'm saying that they haven't even gotten this far. I don't even think they've gotten to that.
Yeah. And we should have had HasCon stuff first, second month of the year, bare minimum, and to start making plans. The collector stuff, I was just saying, they could be ironing out the final stuff, and then let's just hold off the collector's focus stuff, this collector's club we're thinking about, till after the movie's out, the product's there, because they know we're going to look at this movie product.
Right.
So they don't have to rush to have something out there to keep us interested in their product when it's already on the shelf. But the HasCon stuff, like you said, Brett, and you said, Daniel, we should have known about this months ago just to make an informed decision.
Sure.
If anything, going to what Brett said, if anything, the one piece of information that should have been the earliest should have been dealers, because that involves planning floor maps. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, that's even from a TFCon standpoint, a BotCon standpoint, you have to know that stuff. When you're renting a location, that's a cost. Then when you get the dealers, that cost covers the location usually, and extra stuff. I mean, it's very bizarre. Now, granted, we've been used to BotCons that have been between the bubbles of April and early July. This show is going to be, I believe, it's September.
Yeah.
I think that the only reason why they did it in September and why we're late on the information kind of plays up on what you were saying, Don, is I think that they want people to go, which I think is silly because I think at this point that ship has sailed, but I think they want people to go see The Last Knight, get hyped about it, and then let that marinate with them for a bit, and then all the information is going to drop on a more casual audience now. And go, hey, you really liked The Last Knight, right? Well, we're doing a convention related to Transformers, blah, 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 and everything else, obviously. And because it's in September, now they have that larger distance, because I mean, hey, the reality is, as of this recording, The Last Knight isn't very far away. You know, it's not very far away. It's going to be in theaters soon. And then I would not be surprised, maybe a week after The Last Knight, some information drops to pique the interest of the casuals, as I like to call it. Mm-hmm. And the more, and you know, and the fans who are hardcore fans of toy collecting, but maybe not so much so of Transformers, you know, the people who watch a Marvel movie, but might as well go see the Transformer movies too. Then the information will drop. And then if, let's say that information drops, let's say early July, then they got all of July, August, and September to really get us ready. So, which now when I'm holding up three fingers, that's 3 months. When we're talking BotCons that used to be in June, you know, then you would have been talking May, you would have been talking April, and you would have been talking March, when it would all be revealed in February. So there's a possibility maybe we're just kind of not looking at the numbers right now. But I do agree. I think we should know a little more than what we know now still.
Yeah, there is one thing I want to bring up before we go on. And with them also having it in September, you're going into the fourth quarter. You're going into the big holiday season. This is when they can show off all the stuff to these parents and grandparents that's going to be there at this show, potentially, with their kids, showing them, hey, look at our Christmas offerings. It'll still be in their memory. The kids will get hyped about it because they'll see all this great stuff that Santa Claus can bring them. And that's why the show, I think, is so late in the year, is so they're banking on this boosting the people interested in their fourth quarter products as well. So I think that's going to be a big part of it, too.
All right. Well, I wanted to get HasCon in. I mean, we could actually probably go another good hour just talking about that, of all what we want to see and what we haven't seen and blah, blah, blah.
Anything would be nice.
Anything. But I think we're going to wrap this one up. Even with all its technical difficulties, I got across what I was hoping, which was to give the people an idea, and maybe they didn't think about it, that it's gone and what it means and what are they going to do now? And I hope that it helps people out. I hope they realize, not to get too sappy, but how important that show was to a lot of people.
And the Collector Club.
And now got to find something else. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up. Don, you got anything ending to say?
Nope. Just we'll just try to be patient. Everyone, you know, let's just wait and see what happens. And just hopefully Hasbro will get us the information as soon as possible so we can decide what to do about HasCon. Or we'll just have to keep looking for stuff at retail when we can find it.
Gotcha. Daniel?
Well, I mean, we got TFCon Toronto in July. We got TFCon USA in Washington in, I have to remember all my dates here, in September. Mm-hmm. Those two at least are something that people at least could travel to in different locations of North America. And then there's HasCon. So, I mean, we're not empty, but we don't have a BotCon. You know, which is, that means we're not going to have a box. I'm looking at my stack of, I wish I could just show my stack of BotCon box sets.
Which will not go any higher now.
Yeah, it's not going to go any higher now. It's every single one since the beginning. It's only about, I would have to say, maybe 5 feet tall. So it's never going to be taller than me anymore. I used to always ask myself, what's going to happen if it was ever going to go to the roof? Well, but yeah, like it's a shame. It's a shame that, and I'm going to miss it because I always felt that, you know, and as much as fans would complain, I always hated it when fans would complain about sometimes the themes that they would have every year, or some of the choices of figures, but I always appreciated the effort that always went into them because they were always something that was always very fan wanky. You know what I mean? Like someone might not like some of the stuff that we would get if we got, the UK Thundercracker or something. You know, some people would say, oh, that's a waste of a slot, or that's a waste of a mold, or when we got the Sergeant Hound and the General Optimus Prime. But they all kind of serve a purpose, and they all came from a very good you know, mindset in the heart of the people who are creating it, which is they were fans and they were creating it assuming that hardcore fans would appreciate it too, where whatever we're probably going to get in the future, I don't think is going to come from that same kind frame of thinking. I think it's going to go more from a paint by the numbers, mm-hmm. you know, marketing kind of thing, instead of, hey, why can't we get a Creo of GB BlackRock, you know, well, like, which we did.
I honestly believe that what we're about to see, and it might be good or bad, but it's definitely going to be different than what we're used to. Mm-hmm. So, but I'm going to go ahead and end this. And all I want to say is and make sure to like, share, and subscribe. And don't forget about our Patreon page, because we always need the help, especially with my computer and how crappy it is. But hopefully we can work through all this, and I appreciate everyone showing up. With that, I'm going to say take care.
Hey, everybody.
This has been Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening. And we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.